Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 177, part 1, Be My Witnesses. Today is Friday, December 10th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota and is located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live anywhere in the state of Minnesota, and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. That's all there is to it. Just simply call us, register, and you'll be able to come in the next day to pick up groceries and come in once a month after that. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation. You'll see that up at the top of the homepage. You're also going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to check out PastorPaul.org and connect to the online community. You can also call our new comment line. Be sure to do that. The new line is, if you're out of state, 1-877-489-0922. Local, 612-208-0922. 0918. So be sure to call the comment line. You can ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. We'll probably post those comments throughout the week at Pastor Paul's blog. So be sure to give us a call. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. So be sure to check those links out after you listen to Pastor Paul's messages. This month, the month of December, here is the lineup. Whatever happened to the will of God for now, be my witnesses, tried faith, hypocrisy, and the spiritual flood is coming. Those are the five messages for the month of December, starting with Friday, December 3rd. Be sure to listen to both parts. Part 1 is on Friday. Part 2 is on Sunday. So you can listen to both parts of the same message. The conclusion is on Sunday. Have a great month of December. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. God bless you. And we'll see you back here twice weekly for Pastor Paul's podcast.
And tonight's message is entitled, Be My Witnesses. Tonight's message, of course, was prompted by the many phone calls and the personal visits I have received from my last few weeks of radio messages. It's really touched some hearts out there, and people are looking for answers. But before we enter into Isaiah 43 and 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, in reference to what I just said about the radio audience there, I think I'll take a look here at Psalm 27 and 12. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. Whew. Now here's David. He's pleading with the Lord. Don't hand me over to them dogs. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such breathe out cruelty. And on the basis of what I've been preaching here in the last 3 or 4 months, I'm getting these phone calls and people that are saying, hey, what's going on? What happened to all the friends I used to have? But anyway, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. And David is saying, their will to judge me. When the Bible says I'm not under judgment, I'm not under the law. Their will to condemn me when it's not theirs to do. Their will to shoot and ask questions afterwards when you can't answer. And I thought to myself, God be praised that our foes cannot have their way with us. Because after all, it doesn't line up with Scripture. Now, you've been down to Oral Roberts University, right? And I'm sure that you've seen a whole lot down there, and you've learned a whole lot down there about ministry, right? And you've also learned how to stand in, because these people are under tremendous pressure all the time. And I'll bet you that Oral Roberts is praying the same prayer, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such breathe out cruelty. See, slander is an old-fashioned weapon out of the armory of hell. And I believe it is still in plentiful use. Do good and see how it attracts evil. Come on now. Just do something good and see how evil is attracted to it. The one thing I know, words will never bring a good man down. And even the world knows that. They say, hey, you're going to have to eat those words. See, they quote Scripture and don't even know it. You're going to have to eat those words. And a couple, maybe people help each other in the world eat those words. You know what I mean. Maybe they have knuckle sandwiches. I don't know. Maybe that's the answer. And then it goes on, and such breathe out cruelty. I think it is in some people's breath. And it's their breath to hate good. Just literally hate it. They hate to see people get taken care of. They go by and they grit their teeth at the bread wagons and of the world, and they grit their teeth when somebody's doing good. They grit their teeth at missionaries over there in Africa right now, and they grit their teeth every time they see one of these little skinny ones on TV because it's interrupting some important program like the $6 million man or something like that. Some even use the Old Testament scriptures on others. Well, Jesus said, I didn't come to judge but to save. I have one thing to say, in this last end age here, the persecutors, hey, you better start to watch what you do, because I'm hearing it from the radio audience. There's a lot of this going on. And however you judge, shall your judgment also be. The Bible says, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. Now, but we just can't do. We that can't happen to us because, see, we are too righteous to be judged. Now, if anything is ever clear to me, I'm not going to start that right now in the end age. Judge ye not, lest ye be judged. I'm not saying that. Jesus said it. You're under a new and better covenant, not made by human hands. The old has passed away. Behold, the new is here. I'm talking about the New Testament now. And in the same measure that you mete it out to others, so shall it be met out to you. Wow. Well, now this is several people have been into my office and a lot of phone calls. And they ask the same question. What should I do to defend myself against these attacks? And these radio ministries have spurred this kind of conversation on. And I say, well, verse 13 helped me. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have fainted if I wouldn't have believed to see the goodness of the Lord. See, I don't see to believe, I believe to see. You see what I'm saying? And I believe that faintness of heart is a very common infirmity. Do you ever have faintness of heart? Oh, I have it all the time. Oh, man. What next? Now, I've stopped asking that question. I have really stopped asking. How many have just stopped asking that question in your own life? Just, oh, what next? What? Hey, don't wait for it to happen. But even David, the Goliath killer of the Bible, had fainting spells. And I find that faith in God prevents fading, and hope is needed in sorrow. You need a hope. Your hope is pressing forward towards a high mark to calling in Christ, and that's putting all your time and attention, all of your energies towards the Lord. Yes, we must believe to see and not see to believe. Did you understand what I just said there? I don't have to see something to believe it. I believe I'm going to see it. And I believe if we press on, God is going to show himself. Verse 14, I think there is an appointed time. There's a waiting, but there's an appointed time. Listen to what it says. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And then he says it again. Wait, I say, on the Lord, because somebody was going to sleep maybe in the congregation. Maybe one person had their foot out in the aisle. You know what I mean? And so he says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Don't wait on a condition. Don't wait on a situation. Wait on the Lord. Be still, he's saying. Be quiet and allow yourself to be humbled and don't say anything. Also saying, when others give you the cold shoulder, I got a shoulder you can cry on. Wait on me. Be of good courage, it says, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, he says again. Wait upon the Lord. And so tonight, I guess the question is, what kind of a witness are you? And what are you witnessing about? Did you ever think about witnessing in a day? See, every time you talk, you're giving a witness out. Did you ever think what kind of a witness you are and what you're witnessing about? I think a lot of times we better off to keep our mouth shut. Don't say anything. Keep right on going. Go to work. Tape it shut if necessary. Don't say anything. If you can't say something good, say nothing at all. And so what kind of a witness are we, and what are we witnessing about? I mean, are we witnessing about the good news, or are we just full of all kinds of newsy little things? You know what I find? I find that leisure people always end up in wrong witnessing to cover up their own shame. And you know what that shame is? Idleness. You know when a car sits in traffic and it idles, it overheats. And it boils over. And that's how Christians are if they don't keep moving. They sit still, they boil over. And their engine starts knocking and pinging and making all kinds of noise and wheezing. Huh? How many hearing this message tonight? Woo! Leisure people always have a wrong witness to cover up their own shame. Idleness. Doing nothing. Idling. Well, I thought the other day, it's been some time since I really experienced what it is to be at leisure. I don't know what it is to be at leisure. I tried to get at leisure here the other day. I thought, well, I'm going to escape for a while and go in the office. And I escaped, and I was going to get into some leisure sitting, but it was more work in there trying to be leisure. And I found out that being leisure is very fleshy. And I didn't want to follow after the flesh, so I got up and did some work in the spirit, and that was leisure to me. See, it's just exactly the opposite. So if you're really in the Lord and you're in your leisure, well, you're out working for the Lord because his yoke is easy. And real work is to be spirit-filled and sitting down on the seat of your pants, idling someplace, boiling over. But it seems like I am completely consumed in my work. My mind is so occupied with serving Jesus. Many times in my ministry, I've had to sit in court. Now, I was asked to sit in court just recently, and I probably will end up there. And I have to sit in court or visit persons as a witness. And this thought has always come to me that I'm ministering tonight in Isaiah 43 and 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself while I was in court, the world here is the jury. The trial here is really going on between good and evil. Slander and lies and false witnessers come forth against the truth. And plots. Do you believe there's plots? You believe there are evil designs that are invented and hatched in hell? Hey, I've had some eggs hatch right here in the church. Say amen. I mean full-grown, feather-filled vultures. Say amen, somebody. And they're sitting around the lot of church. You look down, you see a great big old fat speckled egg sitting down there. Best take it out and throw it in the dumpster. You are hatching some kind of a vulture. Say amen, somebody. Now, I know this radio audience has listed this, and a lot of preachers have been calling. You appreciate the message because you know it's the truth. You know what? It says you preach the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right now, we're seeing a lot of things hatched in hell. But anyway, a host of demons are called to defame our God. And some days it seems that evil will overcome and win out. And the public opinion cheers and shows no mercy. It sneers at the points of the Christians that are a little bit off of balance. And the world right now is after the Christian. Right now it's looking like Christianity is all that way. Money-grabbing, self-centered, political jarheads. And they are coming after the church tooth and toenail. And what are we doing? We're raising up things of our own. Now is the time like never before, having done all stand, and there's no excuses for not doing our job, none. But anyway, Satan will bring up his witnesses, won't he? Ready to lie, and the Bible says, let God be true, every man a liar. And also the Lord is bringing up his witnesses to tell the truth, and to tell of his righteousness, not your own. But to tell of his righteousness. See, now that's where we get off a little bit. Well, see the Lord, and you can talk like it's all spiritual and everything, and the Lord has brought me up to be a very righteous person. No, your righteousness is Jesus Christ. You have no other righteousness. Because the Bible says, our righteousness is but dirty, filthy, stinking rags. Wow. Gee, now I'm feeling kind of down. No, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. Because if you had to depend on your own righteousness, no one would make it to heaven. The Bible says so. The self-righteous won't make it there. Because see, they don't need Jesus. So he won't, going down, I mean, that's the way it's going to be. But anyway, this text speaks of every born-again believer, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And we're all summoned to this great trial. This great trial of the ages to stand up as witnesses for God. And every excuse will be no excuse. Every excuse that you can find to not witness will not be an excuse. It will be no excuse. How many heard that? Well, you remember that in the scripture it talks about that they were called to come to the feast and they found all kinds of excuses. Anyway, what kind of a witness are you? What kind of a witness should you be? I believe this is no small thing to be honored and be called. It's an honor to be called a witness for Jesus. Oh, well, okay then. What does that mean? That means having done all stand. You might have to stand in a place that's very unpopular. Well, I don't need any court order to make me come forward. I don't need a subpoena. And you will all come forward as God calls you, I would hope. You must do it and do it well and be prepared. And you might be embarrassed under questioning. Where were you when? Well, I was over at, where was I? I know where I'm going to be because I'm down here 20 hours a day. Say amen, somebody. Well, it might be embarrassing when someone gets called into the witness stand. Do you know so-and-so? And then you get called in the witness stand. Where were you on the night of so-and-so and so-and-so? Well, let's see, I've been so busy lately. I've been here and I've been there and I've been everywhere. And let's see, where was I? Huh? And then the other witnesses come up. I can tell you where he was. He wasn't where he said he was going to be. He was over here. He was given a witness, but it wasn't a very good witness. See, the whole gist of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to lift up Jesus Christ. That's what being a witness is. Oh, yeah, but this and so and so and so on. Huh? Don't you worry about that. You worry about your own witness. Say amen, somebody. Radio audience, where were you when? It doesn't say where were they when. Where was he then? But it says, where were you then? See, it's a personal thing, isn't it? Well, I had to go and get these other people, these other witnesses straight. You know what they call that? Coercion. Did you ever try to get somebody's witness straight, or did you try to go tamper with the jury? See, even in the worldly sense, you don't do that. Well, I was over here in this movie. Well, I was just out having a beer. Well, I was just over here. Well, I was just into this or that or whatever. And so remember, someone might be called up to witness who knows you. Like your mother. Like your father. Where were you? Well, I was at one of those endless praise meetings. And that's, you praise. Praises are so empty if there's nothing behind them. Oh my, it's wonderful to praise the Lord, but there's a time to put your praise into action. Huh? Isn't there a doing of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or another man told me, I'm on a 5-year Bible study. And this man has been a Christian for 30 years. And now he's on a 5-year Bible study, which takes up about 10 hours of his week. And that's fine, I'm not against it. But how about doing something with that Bible? How about doing something with the Word? Well, anyway, let's look at the main points of duty here tonight. And so first, let us be present to witness in our proper place and in our proper time. I think some Christians are very retiring, aren't they? Silent witnesses who say nothing. Yeah, they believe they'll go to heaven by watching how well that they sit in a witness chair. And they said, well, I'll get to heaven because I sit in the witness chair. And they just sit. Oh, today, it brings to my mind. Today, there's a fellow that comes in the mission, and he is a sitter. I mean, if you looked under sit in the dictionary, his name would be there. Definition of sit, his name would be there. And I've tried to coach him out of his seat for many weeks. And finally, there were some Indian people there. Now, Indians are so beautiful. They don't show a lot of emotion. Did you know that? They're very silent. They're very deep people. And I've never really seen them break into a gut-busting laugh. Okay? Because that's their nature. Seems to be their nature. And so I says, you know, and I'll just call him Freddie because... I don't want to give his name out. I says, you know, Freddie, when the rapture comes, you're going to go. Don't worry about it, because he always tells me that he's witnessing. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm witnessing. I said, to who? There's nobody in here. And then somebody will come in, and he'll grab your help, and he'll witness to your help, and you'll get 3 or 4 people standing with him. And I say, now, not only are you sitting, but you got 4 or 5 other people that should be working, and you got them over there talking to him, and they're already Christians. And so it goes on and on and on like this, and this is weeks and weeks. I says, now, see, if the rapture happens, now these 2 Indians are sitting over here. You know what I mean? And they were pretty straight-faced and don't show a lot of emotion or whatever like this. And they're just beautiful people. And it just tickled my heart. And anyway, I says, when the rapture happens, you'll go, but just think how embarrassing it's going to be because you're going to go sitting in the witnessing chair. Having done nothing, you're going to go up there and you're going to be caught in a chair. And these Indian ladies started laughing. I mean, they rolled on the floor. They were laughing so hard. Which disproved my thought on people. You see what I'm saying, how wrong I was? I mean, they just busted into a gut buster. And I said, just think how embarrassing it's going to be for a lot of people because they're going to have, you know, blanket wrinkles all over the side of their face. I mean, actual grooves. You know how you get them? You lay there and you wake up and you come down and you look like somebody spanked your face with a ping pong paddle. And it's got all these prints of the blanket, a flower on your face, a red flower. And again, they about fell out. How many are hearing this message today? Now, you want to go to heaven just saying, I was in the witness chair, and I look how well I witnessed sitting in the chair. No, you got to be a doer of the word. Oh, there are so many willing to shout with loud claimant groups, Jesus is Lord, you know? Or shout Hosanna in Washington Square with thousands when they march on the Capitol. But there's not so many that are prepared to witness for Christ when the cry is, crucify him! Crucify him! They're going to say the same thing about Christians. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And they're going to be yelling out, and there's going to be martyrs in the body of Christ, and we're just going to find out where people really are when they say, crucify him! Now, the more Christ-like you become, the more you're going to find that to be true. And the more you're going to find a mass exodus in your own life, in your family, in your friends, and all kinds of things. See, this is coming on right now, isn't it? Or even when the question comes, do you know Jesus? While they're nailing crosses together, whoomp, 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 and that sound of that hammer hitting on that, ooh-wee. Do you know Jesus? Think about that. Huh? Some of you don't even know your friends listening on the radio. Don't even know your friends when they get into trouble. Crucify them. Do you know the Lord? And right now, they're talking about famine. You know how famine's going to happen? Famine's going to happen when corporations take over all the farms. Okay? And they take over all the banks, and they take over everything. And then they're going to say, kill all the cows so we have no milk and no butter and no cheese, and that's happening right now. And famine will happen because we won't feed one another. Then they'll leave that ground to sit there, and then pestilence will come upon it. Are you hearing this? Will you be a witness when they are nailing up these crosses and hoisting them into position? Well, if you are a witness, then you're going to have to be a witness to all you know. The more you walk in the suffering of Christ, the more you're going to know. You're going to be held accountable for what you know. Now, if you don't know anything, you aren't going to be held accountable. That's just like a little baby. Say amen, somebody. Yeah, well, you know, knowing to do good and doing it not is evil, isn't that right? Now, what's doing good? Doing the will of God is doing good. Okay, let's don't mix that one up. Doing the will of the Father is doing good. And there's so many that shy away from certain truths in the Bible. They don't want to hear those certain truths. Well, I don't want to hear that because, see, it might make me go to work. But anyway, these doctrines which are readily received, they will affirm those. And they will say, affirmative, affirmative, absolutely correct. God wants us to be rich and famous. But if someone should happen to mention a very unpopular portion of Scripture, negative, they will cry, die for a friend. What does that mean? Well, that means die to being popular. That means die to being the little news carrier. I seen a vision the other night, and these little persons had these packets on their sides. They were little news carriers, and they had these little packets, and they were running from door to door. Little news packets. Die to doing that. Guess who's watching? How many are hearing His word tonight? See, we're really facing the very end here. There's so many things that people call negative. The affirmative is sitting on the seat of your pants, not doing a thing. The negative is doing, doesn't that seem that way? The negative is actually doing something for Christ's sake. That has become negative, and people will fight it tooth and toenail. Are you hearing this? Tooth and toenail. And they'll try to find a group so they'll feel good in doing nothing. Huh? And when you find a group that feels good in doing nothing, they really get miserable. You have been around a miserable group. Now, what does a miserable group do if they're doing nothing? Well, they're doing something, but it's nothing in God's eyes. Say amen, somebody. Now, you were down here the other night. Wasn't that fun down here the other night doing all that coleslaw that you were doing? And see, when you and your son down here today, he was up down here waiting tables. Wasn't that fun? I mean, you actually got yourself into a hustle. You did. You mean you were out there waiting on them people, and you're waiting on this one, and you're waiting on this one, and you know why you were working? Because the first night you came here, I challenged you, and I says, "No, okay, now I want you people to come in here, and I want you to go to work." And there was no one in here to divide you. There was no one here to say, "Well, no, don't do that." No, because see, I was the only one here that gave you the word, and the word of this church is go to work or get out. Say amen, somebody. Go to work or get out. Glory to God. Go to work or there's the door. Isn't that simple? And now, see, we know where we're coming from, right, Wayne? Now, Wayne took over the truck job. Go to work or get out. Now, isn't that plain? Now, there's no wondering what's going to be going on. And it's just plain, cut and dried. I wonder what he meant. Well, what does get out mean? Say amen, somebody. But look what's coming in. Look what's coming in. Look what's coming in over here. Right, Dick? Look what's happening. George, look what's coming in. Don't let anybody change your mind, George. Hey, they're all out there wolves. Huh? Look what's coming in. Look what's coming. Look what's here tonight. Workers, right? Look what's coming in. Praise the Lord, Marty. Look what's coming. Jim, look what's coming in. And I'll tell you, in the end, God wants a preacher to... Now, this is my ministry. Work! That causes elimination. Workalls. Bib overalls. I mean, you know, spring fashions are in. Who wants to wear these dowdy-looking little things, huh? That's all I got. Say amen, somebody. Now the hour is growing short. It's the time to go to work. Whew. Isn't it? Is that plain enough, radio audience? Don't come down here unless you want to go to work. Bring your card. Hey, we should do that. We should have like union cards. Local 777. Workers for Christ Union. And in order to get in there, you have to go through a 30-day trial to see if we want you in the union, and then you got to pay your dues. Praise God. That's a wonderful idea. Thank you, Lord. Huh? Woo! Oh, glory. Oh, and the very portion of truth which most needs witnessing is shirked, isn't it? Even looked down on disfavorably. Feed the poor? Who wants to do that? They make me sick. You know, the poor are hated. They hate the poor. People do it. They hate the poor. Well, why are they poor? Because they hate them. Why do they hate them? Because they're poor. Think about it. If they loved them, they wouldn't look like this. They wouldn't be like this, would they? Do you think if we really loved people, there'd be an Ethiopia? Do you think if we really loved people, we'd be into who's more spiritual than the next fellow? Huh? Do you? Do you think there would be time for arguments and debate and division and stink? I mean, there's people to be fed. Do you think if we really love people that this would be going on? No, we hate them. Well, why do you say we? Because we're all cut out of the same thing. Don't ever think you're above anything. Hey, about the time you'd say you'd never do something like that, you do it. Oh, God, I did it. Oh, God, why? You didn't depend on the grace of God, that's why. Visit prisons. Oh, how many like to visit prisons? Hardly anybody. Forsake not the little children. Oh, that's right. And then we go in and we'll see someone that's got a little pink dress on and patent leather shoes and a little straw hat with a ribbon down the back skipping. Oh, we can love that one. But how about a snotty-nosed, diaper-filled kid? Huh? That comes around and sits on your lap with a diaper full. Huh? That's hungry. How many want them? I'll tell you, down here in this area, downstairs down here, there are flocks of kids that just come up and they want a hug. Just a simple little hug. And I'm not talking about one or two. I'm talking about 50 kids crawling all over you just wanting a lousy hug. Ain't that kind of sad? Well, it is and it isn't. Because, see, I need a hug as much as they do. Say amen, somebody. I said the other day, praise God for these little ones. Forsake not the little children here, because they're the ones that's going to make you feel good. Well, that's my own scripture, but I mean, it made me feel good. God, I need some hugs. These people are meaner than hell itself. These little ones are really kind. Thank you, little one. That's a, you know, they're actually putting their tore the clothes right off me. You know what I mean? They want a hug. I mean, they were desperate for a hug, and so was I. Hey, God brought us together. Violins, the whole works. Whoa! All I said was, have it! Now, this summer, there's going to be hundreds of them. We're going to have some other people come down. The body can't take 400 or 500 kids hugging on at one time. Are you hearing this? And what the world needs now is a great big hug. Not a bug. Not a spy system. They need a hug. That's what we need right now. Hey, well, we're so busy out there. I know a moment of truth is coming. You know why? Talk is so cheap, but action costs something. It actually costs you something to take action. Well, it'll cost you the wrinkles on the side of your face. That isn't too much, is it? I think we are so ready to say what we would do in certain situations. Aren't we? Friend, without God's grace, we are all very unpredictable. Don't ever predict what you'd do without the grace of God. Say amen. Never predict what you would do outside of the grace of God. Any one of us is liable to do anything at any given time. Now, I believe the loud legalist is in trouble when trouble comes. Because he doesn't know how to handle it. He's busy giving it out. But he never takes any. The other day I was downstairs and there were a couple of legalists. They came in and we had a line of about, oh, I'd say 30 people. We had people standing with canes. And we had people standing like this. And we had young women standing like this. And we had little kids standing like this. Did you ever take a look at those lines? Oh, man. Whew. And they're standing like this, and there's these two great big strapping muscular young guys standing there. And they wanted to see me. You know the two guys wanted to see me? And I got up there in the middle of all this. What's your doctrine? Well, I have the doctrine of do. What's yours? Yeah. And I knew what they were right away. They just came in. They were bristling for a stinking problem. You know what I mean? And what's your doctrine? I said, doctrine of do. Where were you ordained? And What did you teach? And I answered all their questions and everything, you know. And I said, now let me ask you a few questions. Why are you asking so many questions? And, you know, they almost had the bowl haircut. They almost looked like that, the rake and the I mean, you know what I mean? You know, the Post magazine, is it? I mean, they just looked like this, you know what I mean? And I thought, these guys, they are something else. Lord, allow me to have some fun with them. I mean, you know, I know it's fleshy, but let me have some fun with these guys. I said, well, I got a question for you. Why are you asking so many questions? They couldn't answer that. I said, well, that's a real simple thing. Why can't you answer that? Where'd that come from? Huh? I'm just going along with you here. But they couldn't answer that simple thing like that. Well, what's your doctrine? Do you believe once saved, always saved? And they went on and on. And I said, well, I'd like to believe that way, wouldn't you? Well, how would you like it right now if I said, you aren't saved? Well, you'd argue with me, wouldn't you? I says, what do you receive? A Flanagan message? Here again, there again, gone again, Flanagan? I mean, you know, maybe you thought I was kind of rude to these guys, but man, they needed a shaking. I mean, here's a couple of nerds standing there, and all these people are standing there waiting to get waited on. What's your doctrine? And they're standing there wasting my time. And then I found out that they brought about 20 people down here to get groceries. Now, I says, I'm going to tell you guys something. I want you to come down here, and I want you to go to work. Now, I'll answer every question you got, but you're going to work while I'm answering all these questions, because I says it's going to cost you. Unless you want to pay cash right now, you have to come down and work it out. That's the end of it. That's the end of it now. I'm not going to answer any more questions. I don't have to. You know what? They're coming down. They're going to go to work. That'll answer their question. I have the doctrine of do. Do it, do it, do it. 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 Now, either they'll like it or they won't like it. Right? Well, at least we'll get some work done. Ooh. And also, if we are witnesses for God, we should not only be in our place, but we should be willing to speak up when the time comes. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I got up to Austin, and I was outside of the building, and they were painting this great big thing that shows an industrial thing, you know what I mean? Like the workers. Somebody's coming in, an artist coming in to do this painting, and it shows a great big muscular man with a hammer, you know what I mean? And work boots on, and bib overalls. And it was a beautiful picture, and it shows a gear. Got the picture? A gear. The industrial thing, and it shows the farm, from the farm to the factory to the retailer, like that kind of, across the whole building, and someone is inspired to do this picture. And they had a can out there that says 25 cents to watch. You know, so people come around, they watch. I suppose the artist has to make some kind of money so he can eat. Anyway, I drove by the place, and I kind of watched, and I looked. I said, I'm going to drive around the city a little bit, and I seen a lot of idle people and a lot of people talking. See, the whole town is dependent upon the, meatpacking situation. And so I was letting the Lord minister to me, and finally I drove back into there and I got out, and these people so totally received me and ran me around the place, and we had known each other from the Easter situation that we had here, and they packed the bags, and they were so beautiful and so friendly and so open. And I got in there and I thought, well, Lord, now here I am, and what am I going to be doing here? Well, the Lord showed me, he says, don't worry what you're going to say, in that hour I'll give you what to say. So you just get up and I'll put the words in your mouth. And so I got up, and it was so great because they said, okay, everybody stand. And here was all these lovely people, and they stood up, 200 of them. And it says, now we're going to say Pledge Allegiance to the flag. And man, did that stir something in my heart when they all turned around and they said, we pledge allegiance to the flag. Man, that really touched me. And here's these old people standing there, you know, some ready to retire, some already retired, some young people, you know, and they were saying, Pledge Allegiance to the flag. Oh, my God, I thought. So I said, if you don't mind, I'd like to speak first. And I got up. I didn't know what I was going to say. And I said, close all the doors and windows. I'm a gospel preacher, and I'm going to preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ. My main reason for being here tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has told me as soon as this thing, just like it happened all at once that you went out, so will it be when you go back. It'll happen all at once. And also, don't worry about the future, but go to the now. What are you going to do right now? And I think in some area I was a peacemaker while I was down there. And finally, after about 15 minutes of real intense ministry about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we had an altar call and 200 people come to know Jesus Christ down there in a union hall down there. And I thought to myself, now isn't that wonderful that God would use me, such an imperfect vessel. Say amen, somebody. I thought to myself, imperfect in my own eyes, but not imperfect in God's eyes. He sees me as perfect and whole, lacking nothing. Say amen, somebody. And I started to get a new feeling for myself. Say amen. You ever get a feeling for yourself wasn't too good? You know what I mean? Now, it's all right not to think too highly of yourself, but don't think too lowly of yourself either, okay? All right. But there they were, and I thought, oh my God, this is so beautiful. Lord, thank you for using me. What a stink when the truth must be extracted from us like a decayed tooth. When you got to pump it out of us. And I thought it was so natural for me to stand up there and give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the day I was talking to some people from Washington, D.C. that came down here to visit. And all of a sudden I found myself ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ again and about what the Lord says. Jesus says this, and Jesus says that, and Jesus says this, and this is why this works, and that doesn't work, because Jesus has got to be in these things. And I thought to myself, oh, what a free-flowing testimony. That's the best. It's a wine of the Spirit when it's free-flowing. We need to become more vocal. What we've seen and what we've heard, we must tell. The Bible says, what's been whispered in your ear, tell to all men. Tell them about Jesus Christ. No, the hope of the whole world lies in the name of Christ. It's also required of the Lord's witnesses to speak the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help them God, and He will if they will. He never requires a man to lie for Him. You don't have to lie for the Lord. The Jesuits have held that theory for a long time, that the end justifies the mean. No, it doesn't. The World Council of Churches, they say, compromise. Well, I say, do not conceal anything on the ground of policy. But also, we must not exalt any one truth above the other. To hold all truth is evident. Say amen, somebody. And make all those truths evident. I started thinking, what would it be if someone took certain truths? That'd be like if a painter took a certain truth, like the nose on the face, and then he made the nose real big. Wouldn't that make the eyes look like BBs? Huh? No, you have to get it everything in the right perspective. What is the truth? So if you hear the truth.